These last couple of weeks are going to be all about how we take what we've learned. We've applied it a little bit last week. Remember, we talked about preaching the gospel to ourselves, and then we did that fruit to root exercise about kind of how we apply the gospel to one another in community. These last 2 weeks are going to be focused on proclaiming the gospel, so sharing the gospel with folks who have never heard the good news, or maybe have an idea of what the gospel is, but perhaps they're believing not the true gospel. So to help us do that, we have Randy and Debbie Smith, members of Redemption Hill. They're going to be giving us just a good lecture on guest lecture on sharing your testimony and the significance of that, the importance of sharing your testimony. A testimony is testifying about what someone has done for you. And so when you share a testimony, you're sharing a story, you're sharing, you know, what's happened to you. But I won't speak too much on this, but, you know, in the early days of Jesus's ministry, this is how the gospel went forth. Jesus would heal someone and they would have a story to tell. And they would want to go and tell other people about what Jesus did for them. That's a testimony. They're testifying to what Christ has done for them. And so Randy and Debbie are going to be talking about kind of the dynamics of that and what a testimony is. So they have a lot of experience. They've been IMB missionaries for how many years were you?
18
years, mostly in the Philippines and a few years in other parts of Asia, correct?
China.
They have a lot of experience. They have a wealth of knowledge to share. So without further ado, let me welcome them to the Equip class. Randy and Debbie, thank you so much for being here. And take it away.
Oh, first thing I'm going to do is move this back just a fraction. Well, maybe I'm not. It's pretty heavy.
I don't think it'll move. Okay. No, glad to be here to share with y'all today. We have been around in a few different places, seen some different things, so hopefully we can share a little bit of our experience with y'all. And I just want to thank Taylor for the opportunity to be here. I'm going to talk. Debbie's going to talk some. We'll kind of tag team here on some stuff. And then y'all are going to talk some. We're going to give y'all some time to actually think about your testimony. How many of you have ever been in a class or done anything where you actually wrote out your testimony, you actually thought it through? And well, I know y'all have because we did it at community group. But okay. You're going to get a chance to think about this a little bit today. why is using your testimony a good way to share the gospel with someone? Well, there's really one overriding reason for that. And it's because it's your story, okay? It's your personal experience. Okay, you're not presenting a set of facts. You're not presenting an ideological argument or a theological position or anything like that. What you're simply telling someone is, this is my story. This is my personal experience of how I came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And it's hard for people to, you know, refute your personal experience. You know, it's hard for somebody to say, well, that didn't happen. You know, it's like, well, no, it did. It's my personal, this is what happened to me. And it's a reasonably non-threatening way to approach the subject matter and just say, this is what happened to me. You can take it or leave it, take it at face value, whatever, but this is my story. So it's a great way to do that. Before we get into any of the particulars here about that, though, I do want to take just a couple minutes and I want to encourage you that as you study this today, as you start thinking about this today, I hope that thinking about your testimony, and not just your testimony, but your actual experience of coming to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to revisit that on a regular basis, okay? I think it's actually a good, you know, spiritual discipline to help us if we revisit our salvation experience on a regular basis. I do it regularly. I was saved in, let's see, it's so long ago, 1980, okay? None of y'all were born in 1980, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you were? You were born in 1980? Oh, okay. You were born the year I came to Christ. Okay. All right. I want to encourage you to make this a regular spiritual discipline in your life. Going back and revisiting that, okay? And why would I say that? Well, it's not to get you, you're not going back and trying to, like, God, did that really happen? It's not like that, okay? This is something that I think can strengthen your faith. If you go back and look at it, look, coming to Christ is the single most consequential event that will ever happen in your life here on earth. Okay? Now, once we leave here, there's going to be some really consequential events that are going to take place that you might say, well, that one's at least as good, maybe even better than my salvation. But in this life, on this earth, it's the single most consequential event that will ever take place in your life. So, I think it behooves us to go back and revisit that on occasion, okay? It strengthens our faith to do that. It encourages us. It helps us to plumb the depths of Christ's salvation and the love that He has for us. Every time I go back and I try to rethink and I try to look at it at a different angle and get a slightly different perspective, it's amazing how many times I come away with a whole different thought, a whole deeper, more appreciative thought about what actually happened there and how absolutely, utterly incredible the love of Jesus Christ is. I still step back in amazement sometimes, and I'm just like, I almost can't believe it happened. I was so utterly undeserving at that time. I mean, I was in open rebellion against God, okay? I'm talking shouting matches, arguments with God. Literally, I'm physically, literally, not metaphorically, I'm literally arguing, shouting at God, demanding He leave me alone. It makes my blood go cold sometimes to think about it. Because I'm like, any one of those kind of times, God would have been perfectly within His rights to say, okay, you're done. Great, you know. But He didn't. And that miracle occurred where God called me. I met God. However you want to characterize that, whatever words you need to use, where I became God's. My rebellion against God and His authority ended, and I came into His realm of influence. I went from darkness to light, from death to life. For the first time, I was actually truly alive on this earth. And the transformation was astonishing. You become a new creation in Christ. And I did that night in that Baptist church in North Carolina. I became that new creation in Christ. And what you want to do by re-examining your testimony and going back and understanding the depths of it, you want to be able in your testimony to communicate to other people the depth and the beauty of God's love for us, what He did, and it being the most significant thing that's ever going to, that could ever possibly happen to you, it's not a bad idea for us to give due diligence to that and really think about that and study that time and understand in the minutest detail, if we can, exactly what transpired, how it transpired, okay? So I hope this will be the beginning for you of making this a spiritual discipline in your life, where on a regular basis, you're going to come back. You're going to go back to that day, that evening, that morning, that moment, whenever it happened, and you're going to look at it again, and you're going to think about it again, and just let God's love just fill your heart and let your understanding of that grow and grow and grow so you have a much better appreciation of what God did for us. I have a thought. None of us are genuinely appreciative enough of what God has done for us. We really, our finite little minds really cannot comprehend just how far gone we were and just how far God brought us. We're not really going to comprehend that until we stand face to face in heaven and meet Him face to face. I think we're going to understand then. I think the full import of that is going to come down on us. And until then, we got to work with these tiny little finite minds, and mine is smaller than a lot of others. So we work and do the best that we can there. Okay? All right. A testimony. What are the parts of a testimony? Does a testimony have parts to it? And yes, actually, a good testimony, we think, will have three significant elements in it, okay? The first is your life before Christ. Okay? You always need to describe what was your life like before you met Christ. We all had a life before we met Christ. What was your life? How would you tell someone what your life looked like before you met Christ? Okay? I had a very typical upbringing. I grew up in a little mill village where everybody went to some church, okay? I grew up hearing about God from an early age. Went to Sunday school, went to vacation Bible school, did the whole thing. Got baptized when I was 12 years old. Just one slight problem. I'd never met God, okay? I didn't know what saving faith was. I'd never placed my faith in Jesus Christ. It was a religious exercise for me. I had seen it done 100 times before in my church, the people walking the aisle, you know, taking the pastor's hand. Sometimes there's crying and sobbing. There's always happy people. Mom and dad were always happy after that. You know, seemed like a good thing. Most of my other friends had done that. So when I was about 12 years old, guess what? I did it too. Only trouble was I had no understanding. I didn't really know what was going on. That was my life. There was more to it, because I wasn't saved until I was almost 25, and I became rather rebellious at some point in there. But, yes, but you want to give some pertinent details of your life before Christ, okay? So this is, you know, B.C., all right? The next thing you want to include in it is what happened. This is probably the most important. Exactly what happened that made you understand that you were a sinner, that you were in need of a Savior, that apart from Christ, you were lost and needed to be rescued, needed to be redeemed. And what were the particular circumstances that God used to make all of this take place? None of this happens in a vacuum. Okay? God is very much in charge. He arranges these details. He arranges these circumstances in our lives. I believe absolutely in the sovereignty of God. Okay? He is working. He is doing everything he can to get our attention, to help us see our need. He calls to us. He extends that hand. He extends that invitation. And he's literally pleading with us, come to me. Receive the gift that I have. What happened? What were the circumstances, the sequence of events that you went through? Now, for some people, it can be really dramatic. Okay? For others, not so dramatic. All right? That doesn't matter. What you have to know is something happened. All right? You didn't come to this conclusion all on your own. God is working here, and he arranged it. He put that thought. He's calling to us in our minds, in our hearts, and saying, come to me. So exactly what were the circumstances? Okay? For me, I met the real turn in my life came when we moved from the town that we were living in, where Debbie grew up, and I became, we moved up to the edge of the mountains, and we made some new friends. We started attending a different Baptist church. See, we were very religious, okay? I went to church. I wouldn't deny the existence of God. I would have said, well, duh, yeah, of course there's a God, but does he care anything about me, or do I really want him in my life? No. But yes, he's there. And I'll go to church. I've always gone to church. So we were going to church. We go to this different church, and they're a little different. They talk about the gospel all the time. Okay? And I make a new friend, okay, a guy named Brian, who was a believer, probably the first real believer that I'd ever had as a friend. And he was really different than anybody I'd ever met. And that's where the doubt started coming into my mind. I kind of thought I was a Christian. I'm baptized. I go to church. Okay. But my life looks nothing like Brian's or the other friends that we were making. They were obviously different. It was quite clear, the contrast. God began speaking to me. And I'm hearing the gospel. We're hearing the gospel in this church. And so God is working. Well, I wasn't real happy about that, to be perfectly honest. I got kind of angry, you know. I didn't want to. I had plans of my own, and I heard enough to know that if I go that route, I'm giving God control of my life. He's going to have to say so. I'm going to have to let him make decisions for me. And quite frankly, I did not want him making decisions for me. Okay? Had my own thoughts, my own plans. I was like, nope, I've got this figured out, God. I'm good. I really don't need you interfering here. But I'm still hearing. And the conviction is growing in my mind. Okay? Long story short, I got really miserable. I got really messed up. Nobody knew it because I was, incredibly proud. I wouldn't let anybody know what was going on. Debbie barely knew what was really going on in my head. Till I reached a breaking point and got, it was like, look, I can't go on like this. And that miracle occurred. I said, yeah. I said, fine. I surrender. Okay? And again, the change that happened, I didn't look physically different. I didn't particularly act all that different. Nothing changed immediately in my life. But I knew I was a different person. I had a whole different outlook. I saw the entire world different. I saw my life differently. I saw my plans differently. God took all of my plans and flushed all of them. Okay. Praise God. But what happened? What were the circumstances? And then lastly, life since salvation. Okay. What's your life been like since it happened? Since you came to saving Christ? If we really are a new creation, if God really is in control, trust me, there should be some kind of change. There should be evidence of that in your life. How you look at things, how you approach things, what you've done, what are your priorities, how do you think now as opposed to then? Give some sense to people of here are the positive and wonderful changes that have taken place in my life since I came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? So three parts. All right? Debbie, would you like to share your testimony with us briefly?
Yes. I can do that part. And then do it in that one.
What?
Go over this part too now.
Oh, if you want to do that, sure, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So this, during our community group, we wrote our testimony out, which we're going to have you all do that. Am I okay here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I was going to get mine out and plan to read it, but Randy told me I could not read it. I have to say it. But that's fine. So I can do that. So he said, oh, I wonder if I'd have said it. So I have a very similar story to Randy's. I grew up in church. When my parents grew up in a very formal church, a very First Baptist church. And it was just in the process of joining, I loved the activities. I wanted to be in church. I liked it. I liked my friends that were there. But it just kind of was a known thing when you got about 9, you know, you joined the church. And so having no clue that it had any tie to, I knew it was spiritual, that was about it. And so I went down to my parents. I said, I think I'm ready to join the church. So I joined the church. So I was baptized. But I knew enough then later on that I thought I want to be good, but I'm not good. I'm not good. There's still something not right. Okay. So then I had my plans. So that was kind of like Randy. I had my plans. I was going to school to be a dental hygienist. That was my plan in high school. I'm going to be a dental hygienist and I'm going to marry my boyfriend who was Randy at the time.
Enough.
What?
Good to know.
Yeah. Yes. So those are my plans. And I knew, I thought, I don't want God messing with that. Because I knew that he might change that. So it was a little bit similar to Randy. So I did. We got married. I became a dental hygienist. And we moved to where my family actually grew up. And that's where I started working as a dental hygienist when we moved there. And we went to church. And people invited us to church. And we met this group of friends. So I knew from the minute we got to the church that it was different. And I remember thinking to myself after the preacher was giving his message, I said, he is speaking the truth. And this is the first time I recognize that, you know, the Bible as truth and the gospel as truth. So that was a big thing for me. So then I couldn't get enough of it. I was, you know, all in. And then just through a series of events, then kind of with Brian and Alice, we met. As I can remember Alice one time saying, "Praise the Lord," and I went, I rolled my eyes. You know, I thought, "Oh man," you know. So this was early on in that relationship. So anyway, but I couldn't get enough of it. I enjoyed Sunday school, had a great adult Sunday school teacher, and I was really excited about it. But then just through a couple of the things, hearing other people's testimony and what they had been through, I thought, I haven't done that. And so that's when in January, the year before Randy, in January of 79, really date myself, 79 is when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And was baptized again as a true follower of Christ. But for me particularly, it was the peace that I felt that came after that. But it was also, you know, Paul talks about the scales falling from his eyes. I really felt like that happened to me. It was just like the scales fell off my eyes and I could read the Bible. I could understand. I understood what it was about. Did I cover all three things?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to add this little short thing here that we could also do once you write out your three. You're going to talk about 3-minute testimony and stuff, aren't you? Or whatever.
Well,
Here's another little thing you can use, okay? And there was a time in my life when I was blank. Whatever that fits you. There was a time in my life when I was blank. And then however you want to put it, then Jesus became the king of my life. Jesus became Lord of my life, however you want to say that. And I was blank. Okay? This is another little, this is if you just have a little bit of time with somebody and you just want to get something out there. And then you can say, do you have a story like that? That's another little, my little, okay.
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 Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a time in my life when the thought of having God control my life and have anything to do with that terrified me, and I wanted nothing to do with it. But since I had met Christ, I've come to understand that the greatest blessing that I can have is for God Himself to take an interest in my life and help me make every single decision that I make and have absolute, utter control. It's the biggest blessing. So that's a little few sentence testimony that you might be able to come up with as well. But usually we encourage people in the beginning, try to come up with about a 3-minute testimony. See if you, this is not a hard and fast rule. There's nothing biblical about this. This is just kind of for practicality's sake. Most time you might get somebody to listen for 3 minutes, but you get really, really wordy. People might, their minds start wandering, and you know, you want to keep it concise, you want to keep it interesting, you want to be to the point. You don't want extraneous details in there that distract, okay? So in a few minutes, we're going to give you all a chance to write down some stuff. But in the meantime, let me there are some things that you don't want to do in a testimony, okay? Well, generally speaking, if you're sharing your testimony, you're sharing it with someone who does not know Christ. Or you certainly suspect they don't know Christ, okay? And they may not have any context, okay? Well, by context, I mean they may not have been to church. They may not have been in Sunday school. How many of you went to Sunday school when you were growing up? Sunday school? See, you know, yeah. You say Sunday school to some people, their eyes start rolling, and, you know, they don't know about that kind of thing, all right? Vacation Bible school. What? You know, they don't have those contexts like that. They've not been in church. They haven't heard the hymns, okay? So what you want to do is you certainly want to avoid using words and terms that only a person who is in the context of the church, some spiritual context, is going to understand. Okay? You want to be very careful about what kind of words that you would use. Can some of you give me some examples of some churchy, preachy, theological words that you might want to avoid in your testimony?
Sanctification or justification?
Sanctification. Okay. Sancta what? You know, nobody's going to, a lot of people, they're not going to get that. Okay. Justification. That's a $10 seminary word. Okay. You know, give me a couple of other examples, something you might not want to use.
Sin might even be a hard one to, the word sin, maybe you misunderstood.
The word sin, yes, okay. It's hard to avoid that one. But you need to...
Selfishness, kind of speak broadly about sin, but it's something you can identify with, people can identify with.
Yeah.
It's not a religious term, but it's synonymous with sin and selfishness.
I agree.
Or Jesus into my heart. You know, I invited Jesus into my heart, but it's like abstract. It's like, what? How did he come into my heart? What does that mean?
Okay, that's a slightly different topic, and we're going to get to that in just a second. So hold that thought, okay? Because that's really important, all right?
And my question is, do we start by introducing ourselves, like with our name?
Okay.
I don't know how to start it.
Okay, look, generally when I'm recommending that you're doing this kind of thing, you're not just walking up, generally you're not walking up to a stranger on the street and just saying, "Hi, my name's Randy. Can I share my personal testimony with you?" Okay. Generally speaking, this is somebody maybe that you already know, a neighbor, a coworker. Okay. Sharing the gospel generally works better if you're sharing it with someone who already knows you to an extent, and there's already at least a certain level of trust there. Okay. Sharing with strangers is fine. I've done that. That is a hard road to hoe, though, as we used to say many years ago. You don't even know what that means, do you? Okay, see, you used to have to go out into the cotton field, and you would literally have to hoe the weeds down, all right? And if there are lots of weeds, that was a hard road to hoe. Okay, really time consuming. You probably don't want to do that if you can get away with it. Okay, so going that route is that hard road to hoe. It's going to be, that's an uphill battle. You want to try to stay with people that you know. And there will be circumstances where you have to share with somebody that maybe you just met. Okay, but generally speaking, we recommend stick with people that you know. Try to build relationships. Start with the people you know. Family members, co-workers, neighbors, you know, the person at the post office, the what, I don't know, just where, you know, wherever your circle of influence is, okay? Just a few more terms if you've got them, and then I want to get back to this, what she brought up very quickly. Any other terms that you should avoid?
Regeneration.
Regeneration. Okay. Yes. All right. There. Somebody might think, "Are you a salamander? You can grow your what?" I don't know here, but regeneration. There's one you probably want to stay away from.
And after we came home, we were in New York City for 4 years. We never used the term lost because a New Yorker would say, "I'm not lost. I know exactly where I'm at." Yeah, so you learn too.
As you do this more, you'll get better and better and better at sizing up the circumstances you're in and the person that you're talking to and what you should or terms you should or should not say to them that are just going to confuse the matter. Okay? There's probably a lot of other terms, but just be aware there are preachy terms, churchy terms that you probably want to avoid. Now, this thing that she just brought up about asking Jesus into your heart, okay? Don't ever do that, okay? Please don't ever do that, okay? I believe in staying absolutely as close to what the Bible says as we possibly can. You can't go wrong quoting the Bible, okay? Use the Bible. Use the terminology there. Stay with that. You're on much safer ground. And nowhere in the Bible does it instruct us to ask Jesus into our hearts. That is such a subjective term. People can put all kinds of meanings behind that. What the? How does that work? Invite Jesus into my heart. We're, you know, don't do that. Okay? Stick with what the Bible says and use that terminology. There's probably other terms like that. I'm drawing a blank right now, but I know there's some others, okay?
The ABCs. The ABCs of becoming a Christian.
Yeah.
That four was like, the four spiritual laws.
It's like really big at like kids' summer camps.
Sort of.
Like, admit.
Yeah.
Like, technically try, but it's like Christian.
Yeah. Okay. Of course, we're getting a little off of the actual testimony, okay? But still important. That's really important. It's kind of it's one of my pet peeves, you know. Don't do that, okay? Another one of my pet peeves, having somebody repeat a prayer after me. Oh my God. Please don't do that, okay? I've done it. I've seen other people do it. I've seen people get saved like that, okay? But to my thinking now, the last thing I want to do is put words in somebody's mouth if I don't know exactly what's going on in their head, okay? You can give someone a false sense of security really, really fast. Okay? You can point them down the wrong road really quickly. So again, I would just urge you, don't do the repeat after me thing. Okay? The Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of prompting someone. If they feel the need to say something out loud, the Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of prompting someone to say whatever is on their heart that would be correct, okay? And speaking of that, there's nothing in the Bible that says you actually have to say something out loud in order to be saved.
Confess with your mouth? What does that part mean? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus, Lord, God raised him from the dead. How do you interpret?
Well, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Okay, but at the moment that I was saved, I didn't say a word out loud. Not a word. I'm standing there, and I'm having my conversation with God. Quite a conversation. Okay. And that moment of salvation happened right there, just me and God. And it was done. The transaction took place. The covenant was signed. I came to saving faith. Now, after that, I did what I always did. I walked to the front of the church and I took the pastor's hand and I did that. And he actually led me through a prayer. Okay, but I was already saved at that point. Okay, there's no biblical requirement to actually say a word out loud somewhere or to say a particular set of words that are the correct words. Okay, so again, I try to stay as close to the Bible as I can. It's not that some of those things are utterly wrong sometimes or could, you know, I've seen them done and seen good things happen. But again, you're on a lot thinner ice if you go off of the reservation, so to speak. And why would you want to when we've got an entire Bible that tells us exactly what we know, what we should know, exactly what we can say, exactly what, I mean, it's got everything there. Stick as close to the Bible as you possibly can, okay? Go memorize Ephesians chapter 2, okay? Start there. Just memorize Ephesians chapter 2 so you can start getting some of that in your head about, okay, this is what God's saying about salvation, okay? I want to just inundate my life with as much of that. I want the Spirit to just wash that through me so that I never misspeak, I never say a wrong word, okay? All right. Kind of got off the topic there just slightly in the personal testimony, but that's good. Y'all have questions, okay? All right, what we want you to do, let me see my clock here. Okay, what we want you to do is take a few minutes, look at these three things. You ain't going to have time to write anything out, but we want you to take a few minutes, jot down a few notes. You probably, while we were going through these, the Holy Spirit was probably reminding you of some things. You were thinking back, I remember when I said that. I remember when that happened. I remember what I was thinking here. I mean, or like that. Take about 5 minutes. Jot down a few notes, and then we want one or two of you to share your testimony with us, okay? Now, look, this is something you just keep working on for a lifetime, okay? My testimony changes all the time, depending on who I'm talking to, when I'm talking, how much time I've got. I emphasize some things this day. I emphasize other things another day because they're more relevant. Okay, so it's a growing thing. You're always going to be growing. The basic facts aren't going to change, but how you look at it, how you think about it, how you present it to make it understandable to somebody very likely will change. Okay, so take a few minutes.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Oh, go ahead, Danny.
I'm getting ready to mention to you about saying that to be particularly aware of. It's helpful if you know where somebody's coming from, exactly. Now, my friend in New York was Catholic, so I emphasized more on the fact that I was trying to be good, and I felt like God was just going to weigh out my good and my bad, my deeds, that way. So I kind of, you know, got more of the grace route, okay, and salvation by grace through faith, you know, that kind of thing. It's a whole different ballgame now with a Muslim with our Afghan refugees that we do. But going back to what she was saying, you might can tell, that for me, when I love this the most is when it just occurs naturally. You know, I don't have to sit there and think, okay, now I want to share my testimony with this person, and I try to weasel around. You know what I'm saying? You're kind of trying to make it happen, you know what I'm saying? And you just let the Holy Spirit just lead and guide you. When it just comes out, one of my tennis buddies wanted to go to lunch in New York. We sat down outside at a cafe, and we had lunch, and just through our conversation, it just flowed out naturally. And that's when I like it the best. I'm not trying to contrive it. Does that make sense?
It's generally much more effective when it's like that. Although, again, there are circumstances where that's just not an option.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, deal with those circumstances. All right, take a few minutes, write some thoughts down. What was your life like before Christ? What happened to bring you to faith and your life since salvation?